This morning, we're going to get into a brand new series that we're kicking off, and it has to do with our game that we did there, right? There's relevance, I promise, to everything, but let me ask you, those of you who just did the card game there, what made that so difficult, Sierra? You don't know what you do in Hong Kong. Okay, what was so hard about it? You don't operate always best when you're under a time crunch and have stuff to do. That's pressure for sure. What else? Anything else? Andy, what was hard for you about it? What was difficult about that? You've never been to Australia? I feel like that picture tells you everything you need to know about Australia, apparently. But no, right. So the idea here is that obviously with a postcard, you have a lot of limitations, don't you? You don't have a lot of time. But in particular, if you're writing a postcard to somebody, the idea is that you're not writing a full-on letter, right? It's like you don't have a whole bunch of notebook paper. You literally have a card about 5 by 7 inches where you can only put so much information. And so you're trying to give them the most basics of what you've seen, what you've done, what you've heard, whatever it may be, right? That is the nature of a postcard. That's very different from a letter. A letter, you can kind of go and you can ramble on as long as you want to about it. But again, a postcard is not meant to tell you everything. In fact, brevity, being much more brief in how you talk, is extremely important. And so that's what we get when we come to what we call the New Testament postcards. Did you guys know that the New Testament had postcards? What I mean by that is there are 4 books in the New Testament that don't have any chapters to them. You know, usually when we talk about the Bible, we're talking about chapter, verse, number, stuff like that. But when it comes to the New Testament, there are actually 4 books that are so short, they don't even have multiple chapters. They are just literally a couple of verses together to communicate a singular idea. So we call them the postcards. Again, that's kind of a nickname for them. But what they lack in size, they ultimately make up for in value. And so what we want to talk about this morning, and as we're going to see over the next several weeks, is that the New Testament postcards are valuable because they provide snapshots of the Christian faith. I apologize, by the way. We're going to get a new projector on this side, so in the coming weeks. If you can't see it, whisper to a friend. You can pass it along, telephone style. But yes, when we look at the New Testament, we see these 4 books. We see that ultimately they are snapshots of the Christian faith. And what we mean when we talk about a snapshot of something, we're talking about a quick picture of something, right? That's what a snapshot is. We're not talking about a photo album. We're talking about a brief click of something and just getting a quick idea of what it's all about. That's what you saw when you looked at those postcards, right? Those postcards don't tell you everything about the country, but they tell you something maybe important about it, right? That one about Mexico tells you that that lady really likes to collect fruit, right? She had a lot of fruit in her hands. The one about Australia tells you about the large trees that are in the forest. Paris, I can't even remember what was on your Paris one, but you get the idea, right? It's not telling you everything about that culture or that country, but it's giving you a brief look into something that's very valuable and important and treasured. So that's exactly what we're going to see when we study these 4 New Testament postcards: Philemon, 2nd and 3rd John, and Jude. Those are the 4 postcard epistles. When we say epistles, we mean letters, or we can just call them postcards. They give you a snapshot of the Christian faith, but they're not meant to tell you everything. In fact, they're meant to give you a key idea and to focus in on one primary focus, right? It's not telling you a bunch of stuff about Christianity. It's giving you a one singular idea of something quick that this writer wants to talk about. In fact, it's going to talk about one primary area of what it means to be a Christian. And so this morning, we're not going to get into the first one, which is Philemon. We're just going to introduce this series just to kind of get you excited for what's in store for the coming weeks so that you can look forward to this. So the real question that we want to answer this morning is, why are these important, and why is it that we're going to take the time over the next several weeks to study them together? So I want to give you three reasons why we should study these New Testament postcards. Three reasons why we should study the New Testament postcards. And the first reason is this: because they are overlooked, yet biblical. Right? They are overlooked often, but they are still in the Bible. Because they're small in size, they're often overlooked or neglected, right? Whether it is you just kind of turn the pages quickly or your pages get stuck together in the Bible, because they're like one page, they can quickly get overlooked and lost in the weeds of some of the bigger letters that we see in the New Testament. They can fall between the cracks. And really, honestly, because they're so small, not much time is given to them. Focus in general. But as I mentioned a few weeks ago, when we were studying Obadiah on Sunday morning, we're reminded that we're a church that believes in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Are you guys familiar with 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17? Should be if you're somebody who's been through Awana, right? Talks about how all scripture is what? Yeah, breathed out by God, inspired by God, which means that it comes from God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that, what? We may be equipped for every good work. In other words, everything that's in the Bible, and that includes even the small little postcards, are for the benefit of you as Christians. They are meant in some way to make you a more complete Christian, to make you a more complete follower of God. So from this we learn that even the smallest letters of the Bible have a very big purpose. God cared enough, think of it this way, God cared enough to put it there. Right? If God cared enough to put it there, then we should pay attention to it. In fact, he didn't just put it there for you to know the information about it, but he put it there so that you would be changed by it. And we're going to talk more on that in just a moment. But suffice it to say that God cares about the postcards, and so should we. Not to mention, we're kind of riding the wave of momentum because we already did the Old Testament postcard on Sunday mornings the last few weeks, didn't we? Obadiah, right? Obadiah was the only one in the Old Testament that is just less than a chapter in length. So why not just knock out all the rest of the postcards and focus on them over these next few weeks, okay? So that's the first reason we should study it. The second reason is this: because they are small, yet powerful. They are small, yet powerful. As I previously mentioned, what they lack in size, they make up for in value. Perhaps you've heard the popular phrase that the best things often come in small packages, right? If you don't believe me, ladies, you will not be upset one day when a guy presents you with a nice small little box down on one knee, right? You're not going to be complaining about how small that package is because you're going to be excited about the awesome, awesome thing that's inside it, right? It's coming one day. But the New Testament postcards are small, but they really pack a lot of punch. Even though they're just a couple verses in length, there is a lot to them that we get to look at over these next few weeks. And they may not tell us everything about a topic, but they do pack a lot into just a few short verses. And some of that is because of the people that God's Spirit used to write these letters. Right? So we have to keep in mind who the people are that are writing these different letters. When we look at the letter of Philemon, do you guys know who wrote the letter of to Philemon? Who? Philemon? No. It was written to Philemon, but who wrote it, do you know? He's like the guy who wrote most of the New Testament.
Is it
Paul? Paul. Yep. Paul. Think about it, right? Paul is like the one who was the greatest missionary in the New Testament. Paul is the one who had a direct encounter and experience with Jesus himself, was commissioned by Jesus to do his work, and he's the one who's writing this small letter to Philemon. 2nd and 3rd John. You know who wrote 2nd and 3rd John?
2nd and 3rd John.
Yes, just John himself, right. Yeah, so John was the one who wrote it. And we know from the New Testament that John was the closest of the disciples to Jesus. We hear a lot about Peter, but John, in fact, is actually known as the disciple who Jesus loved. The disciple who Jesus loved. He had a closer relationship with John than actually any of the other disciples. And so he has a very unique insight into the life of Christ that he's going to convey in his letters. And when we look at Jude, who wrote the book of Jude, or the postcard of Jude? I'm not gonna call on Andrew this time. Someone want to take a random stab at it? I promise it's okay. It's worth the risk. Yeah.
Jude.
Yep. It was a trick question because Philemon didn't write Philemon, right? I get it. But yes, Jude. Do you guys know who Jude was? Jude is actually the half-brother of Jesus. So Jesus' own brother wrote one of these postcards in the New Testament as well. So like we see an increase of proximity of these people to the life of Jesus. And because of that, they're able to communicate this truth and these important values to us in a very unique and powerful way. So each of them have a very important message about how Jesus changes the way that we live, which leads us to a final reason that we need to study them this morning, is because they are deep yet practical. They are deep. What we mean by that is that they're very theologically, they're very rich in a lot of stuff, but they're immensely practical. What we mean practical means that there's a lot to them that are going to teach you how you as a Christian should live out your life on a daily basis. They are small, but they are rich and powerful. But in saying that they're deep, we're tempted to think that they're irrelevant for our daily life as Christians. And the truth is, that couldn't be farther from the truth. So we're going to see how each of these letters is a balancing act between what we would call orthodoxy, which means correct truth, a correct understanding of the Bible and truth, and orthopraxy, which means correct living. Right? So each of these letters is going to give a lot of focus to that we know what the Bible teaches, but that we not just be a people who are like filled with information and we just know a lot of facts. But it's concerned that you let the truth of the Bible translate into now how you live your life on a daily basis as a Christian. And that is incredibly, incredibly important. So as a snapshot, each postcard gives us a quick look at how truth impacts a practical area of the Christian life. And so we're going to see over the next several weeks how each of these does so. We're going to see from the book of Philemon the truth about forgiveness. Let me ask you this. How many of you in this room have ever been put in a situation where you need to forgive somebody? It's like everybody. How many of you in this room struggle at times to forgive somebody? Right? That is immensely, immensely practical for every single day of your life, knowing how you learn to forgive and why, as a Christian, you are demanded or you are called to forgive. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, when we look at the letter of 2 John, about the truth about love. We're going to talk about what it actually means to be loving, because we live in a culture right now where to love someone is very... It's a very loose understanding, right? It's very, I would say, unbiblical definition of what love is, right? I don't want to get into that completely, but we learn in our culture a lot that love means you just let people do what they want to, right? You can't tell anybody that they're wrong. And 2 John is going to say, well, wait a minute, there is actually a way to understand love, and it is always within the parameters of truth. And so if you want to know what it is to really love somebody, you have to have truth. And so we're going to talk about what that means to actually love people and to love them well. When we look at 3 John, he's going to continue this idea of truth and love, but he's going to do so and talk about what it means to be united, what unity looks like. Where is it that we can form unified friendships and relationships, and where is it important that we draw the line and not have unity with somebody else, but do so in a way that's still consistent with truth and also still loving. And then finally, we're going to talk about, from the book of Jude, the truth about faith. We're going to talk about the truth about faith. And in particular, Jude is going to be very concerned that you have a right understanding of faith. Just like John is going to be concerned that you have a right understanding of love, Jude wants to make sure you have a right understanding of faith, what true faith looks like and what false faith looks like, because there are a lot of people who will deceive you about what is called faith. And so again, all of these areas, hopefully as you look at those couple of things there, help you see, you know what? Yeah, those are things on a daily basis that impact my life as a Christian. That's important for me. I want to see how I can let the Bible speak into those things. And again, these are nice and short, so you can learn a lot from them in just a short period of time. So that gives us a lot to look forward to in these coming weeks. So the question is, how do we respond to all that we've just learned here this morning? It's this, that we need to read and ultimately treasure the postcards that God has mailed to us, right? God has taken the time to write these letters. I say God wrote them, again, because God is the one working through Jude and John and Paul to write these letters. But God has specifically put them there for a reason. He wants us to be changed by them. You know, I used to think the prospect of getting older as an adult, there would be something fun in the ability to get mail on a regular basis. I think I was kind of naive to that because I thought that, you know, getting mail would always be a fun thing. I was naive to the fact that most of the mail you get would usually be bills or credit card applications or flyers or just junk mail in general. The reality is you don't get a lot of exciting mail as an adult. But even to this day, there's something special about receiving a postcard, right? Getting a postcard from somebody in the mail that, you know, they've been away on a trip somewhere, at someplace cool, even if you're a little bit jealous that they got to be somewhere, there's still something about getting a postcard that separates itself from all other letters. Because it's a unique piece of correspondence that in many ways a lot of people treasure. A lot of people, when it comes to their postcards, they'll put them up on the wall, right? They'll display them, or they'll put them on the fridge, or they'll have a special box where they keep that type of correspondence. I think in many ways, as we look at these New Testament postcards, I want you to see these for the treasure that they really are. That they're very unique, that they're not more valuable than any of the other letters in the New Testament, but because of their brevity, because of their quick writing and their singular focus, I want you to see how you need to treasure them for what they really are and learn to have your life shaped ultimately by them as well. And so we're going to take time over the next few weeks to read them, to study them, and to challenge the way that we live and desire to live out our faith together. Ultimately, because Jesus himself is the greatest treasure, and he himself is worth it. So that's what we're going to do over the next few weeks. I gave you guys your note sheets this morning. I would encourage you to take the time, whether it's today, this afternoon, whether it's sometime this week, to go through some of those reflection questions. But in particular, I'd encourage you to consider doing the assignment and the challenge that I put on there for this week. So the assignment that I have on there is that for next week, in preparation for everything that we're going to learn, go ahead and read the letter of the postcard of Philemon this week. Right? I think it's like 25 verses, which will take you 3 minutes maybe to read. And get familiar with what Paul is encouraging Philemon to do. And in fact, if you want to challenge yourself, I have a challenge on there. Now that you've seen how the postcard writing competition goes, maybe you can challenge your parent or your sibling, somebody in your household today, to it, and explain to them what we've talked about here this morning about how the New Testament postcards work and why they're important. Okay, any questions about anything we've talked about so far this morning? All right, let me pray for you. Again, you can leave your chairs where they are for next week, and you can be dismissed. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the special privilege for us to gather together to just whet our appetite for what you have in store here with these postcards. They are small, but they are powerful, Lord. You have used them in mighty ways over the course of church history to impact your people. And I pray that even for our young people this morning, as they look at these, they would be encouraged to know, Lord, that they need to know what it is to forgive well, to know what it is to walk in love, to know what the basis is for unity with other people, and ultimately, Lord, what genuine faith looks like. These impact everything about who they are and why they exist. And so I pray that you would help them over these next few weeks to take this series to heart so that they would be changed by the power of your word to be the type of people you call us to be mature and complete, perfect in Christ. What a goal that would be, Lord. And so we pray that your spirit would work through us so that we may do so. In Christ's name, amen.